Installation and Maintenance of Health IT Systems. Unit 6, System Security Procedures and Standards. In any software system, security should be the number one priority of administrators and developers. The ability to handle information and protect it from attack not only safeguards the business from financial and legal liability, but enacting good security measures is also a measure of professionalism. When implementing a new EHR software, whether it's a COTS product or one you've developed in-house, it's important to look for defects in the software that may compromise security and establish reasonable safeguards and policies to prevent abuse and security breaches from implementation. In today's lecture, we will cover ways security and privacy of health information, and in some ways it can be compromised. Next, we will discuss the regulatory agencies responsible for protecting the data and what your requirements are, along with some baseline practices you can use to protect your infrastructure. Protected health information, PHI or EPHI, under HIPAA includes the individually identifiable health information. Identifiable refers not only to data that is explicitly linked to a particular individual, it also includes health information with data items which reasonably could be expected to allow individual identification. Note that the definition of PHI excludes individually identifiable health information and education records covered by Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, or FERPA. Employment records held by a covered entity are also exempt from federal regulation. Security and privacy with regards to health records are tightly governed by federal, state, and local laws. These govern who can legally have access to any type of health information, what measures must be taken to protect those records, how long those records must be stored, and whom to notify when you need to if the records have been compromised. 18 different identifiers are recognized and protected. As providing identifiable links to individuals, names, geographical subdivisions smaller than a state. This includes street addresses, cities, county, precinct, zip codes, and their equivalents, geocodes. There are some exceptions to three-digit zip codes, which we will not discuss here. All elements of dates, except for year, for dates directly related to an individual, including their birth date, admission date, discharge date, date of death, and all ages over 89, and all elements of dates, including year, indicative of such age, except such ages and elements that may be aggregated into a single category of age 90 or older. Phone numbers, fax numbers, electronic mail addresses, social security numbers, medical record numbers, health plan beneficiary numbers, account numbers, certificate or license numbers, vehicle identifiers and serial numbers including license plate numbers, device identifiers and serial numbers, URLs from web addresses, IP addresses from Internet Protocol, biometric identifiers including finger and voice prints, full face photographic images and any comparable images which may be identifying the person, any other unique identifying number, characteristic, or code. That does not mean that a unique code assigned by an individual investigator to code data. Federal law tends to supersede state and local laws. When in doubt, or where overlap occurs, always plan on implementing the tightest control policy and contact your legal department to resolve any issues. It is important to familiarize yourself with these regulations. Since local and state laws vary state to state, we will focus today on federally mandated rules governing health data and storage. There are many different ways in which our system could be reached, allowing for the compromise of your sensitive data. Let's list a few of the more common approaches. The inside job. An overwhelming majority of network security issues center around the organization's own workforce. Lack of understanding policy, laziness, or disgruntlement among workers is always threats. training employees on the hazards of mishandling sensitive data and the importance of following legal regulations and your organization's policies will help mitigate this risk. Social engineering is the process where someone is tricked into divulging information that allows an attacker to infiltrate the network. The most common attempt centers around pretending to be a network administrator, needing the user's password to repair something in the system. Brute force attacks are just what they seem. An evildoer identifies the server on a network, perhaps by scanning for a remote desktop port, and then attempts to break into the system using the administrator account and running specialized utilities that will try an endless number of passwords until it cracks the password. Eavesdropping. A majority of network communications occur in an unsecured or clear text format. An attacker who has gained access to your network can listen in on the traffic. When an attacker is eavesdropping on your communications, this is referred to as sniffing or snooping. Eavesdropping is generally the biggest security problem that administrators face in an enterprise environment. Enabling strong encryption serves to protect your sensitive data as it traverses the network and mitigate this risk. Data modification. An attacker can modify the data in a packet without the knowledge of the sender or receiver. This can lead to an erasure or a corrupted data. Identity spoofing. Many networks and operating systems use IP addresses of the computer they use to identify a valid entity. In certain cases, it is possible for the IP address to be falsely assumed. Try not to use IP addresses as a method for ensuring connectivity to a particular device. Ensure that device's MAC addresses are utilized for connecting to a domain. Password-based attacks are the failure to use strong passwords whenever possible. Multi-factor identification, that's requiring one or more method of identification to authenticate to a network, can help protect your system against compromise, which would potentially harm your data. Denial of service attacks. Though these attacks don't usually intercept data, they can render a network virtually useless by overloading the infrastructure with unwanted traffic. Man-in-the-middle attacks. Someone figures out a way to intercept the network traffic and captures it before sending it along to the reader. This is often the result of a compromised encryption key. Using 128-bit encryption or stronger encryption over a VPN network, wireless, or other communication can help offset this risk. Application layer attacks. This attack targets application servers by causing a fault in the server's operating system or applications. Once compromised, the attacker gains the ability to bypass normal access controls. The attacker takes advantage of the situation, gaining control of your application system or network, leaving your data vulnerable. The HIPAA privacy rule is a set of federal standards written to protect the privacy of patients' medical records and other health information maintained by covered entities, consisting of health plans, which may include governmental health programs such as Veterans Health Administration, Medicare, and Medicaid, most doctors, hospitals, and many other health care providers, and health care clearinghouses. These standards provide patients with access to their medical records and with significant control over how their personal health information is used or disclosed. Compliance with these standards was required beginning in 2003 for most entities covered by HIPAA. The Office of Civil Rights is responsible for investigating all complaints associated with HIPAA security and privacy. However, only in 2009 did OCR assume responsibility for administering and responding to HIPAA security complaints. Since 2003, HHS, Health and Human Services, has received over 54,000 HIPAA privacy complaints, of which almost 12,000, after investigation, require changes in privacy practices and other corrective actions covered by the entities. At roughly $10,000 per fines per validated complaint, there is no doubt that failure to ensure adequate safeguards can be costly to an organization. However, in the end, these losses pale in comparison when considering the organization's potential loss of reputation and patient confidence, which can take years to rebuild. The most common types of covered entities that have been required to take corrective action to achieve voluntary compliance are, in order of frequency, private practices, general hospitals, outpatient facilities, health plans such as group health plans and health insurance issuers, and pharmacies. From the compliance date to present, the compliance issues investigated most are compiled cumulatively in order of frequency, impermissible use of disclosures or protected health information, lack of safeguards of protected health information, lack of patient access to their protected health information, uses or disclosures of more than the minimum necessary protected health information, and complaints to the covered entity. The HIPAA security rule establishes national safeguards for the security of electronic protected health information, or EPHI. The final rule adopting HIPAA standards for security was published in the Federal Register on February 20, 2003, and specifies a series of administrative, technical, and physical security procedures that covered entities must use to assure the confidentiality of electronic protected health information. These standards were delineated in order to required or addressable implementation specifications. Compliance with the standards was required as of 2005 for most entities covered by HIPAA. The security rule requires covered entities to maintain reasonable and appropriate administrative, technical, and physical safeguards for protecting EPHI. Specifically, covered entities must ensure the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of all EPHI they create, receive, maintain, or transmit. Identify and protect against any reasonably anticipated threats to the security or integrity of the information. Protect against reasonably anticipated impermissible uses and disclosures, and ensure compliance by the workforce. The security rule defines confidentiality to mean that EPHI is not available or disclosed to unauthorized persons. The security rule's confidentiality requirements support the privacy rule's prohibitions against improper uses and disclosures of EPHI. The security rule also promotes the two additional goals of maintaining the integrity and availability of EPHI. Under the security rule, integrity means that EPHI is not altered or destroyed by an unauthorized manner. Availability means that EPHI is accessible and usable on demand by an authorized person. It's important to note that the security rule, it was designed to offer flexible and scalable options to allow covered entities to analyze their own needs and implement solutions where appropriate for specific environments. What is appropriate for a particular covered entity will depend on the nature of the covered entity's business as well as the covered entity's size and resources. Both the privacy rule and the security rule work in tandem to help ensure that healthcare data is properly protected. The HIPAA security rule requires covered entities to guarantee certain safeguards are in place to protect EPHI data. These safeguards can be broken down into categories: administrative safeguards, physical safeguards, technical safeguards, and organizational requirements. Let's take a closer look at each of these categories, their requirements, and some specific options available so you can adequately address them. Administrative safeguards address the process that you have put in place in your organization to administer security of an EPHI system. Each organization is required to identify and analyze potential risks to its EPHI, and it must implement security measures that reduce those risks and vulnerabilities to a reasonable and appropriate level. This is done using risk analysis. A risk analysis process includes, but is not limited to, the following activities. Evaluate the likelihood and impact of potential risks to EPHI. Implement appropriate security measures to address the risks identified in the risk analysis. Document the chosen security measures and, when required, the rationale for adopting those measures, and maintain continuous, reasonable, and appropriate security protections. This should be an ongoing process. Regular reviews should be performed to evaluate the effectiveness of its security measures put in place, and newly identified potential risks to EPHI should be addressed in an ongoing fashion. Your covered entity must also designate a security official who is responsible for developing and implementing its security policies and procedures. Your network security officer or person handling network security should have knowledge of both HIPAA guidelines and IT security standards. He or she should be willing to take proactive measures to ensure the safety of the EPHI system and be able to communicate effectively with and solicit support from upper management as well as with staff at all levels of the organization. The security rule requires that a cover entity to implement policies and procedures for authorizing access to EPHI only when such access is appropriate based on the user's or recipient's role within the organization. Written policies should be created, then endorsed by management, that explain the process for granting access to EPHI. This includes establishing, documenting, reviewing, and modifying the user's right of access, including termination of said access. This policy or group of policies should adequately address these questions. Who gets access to EPHI data? What level of access is needed? Who is the agent authorizing the access? Is the authorization adequately documented? Is the access periodically reviewed? Is there a process for rescinding access once it's no longer needed? It's also important to note that your EHR software should also have roles built into it that will allow for you to conform to these compliance safeguards as well. The administrative safeguards also provide for the appropriate authorization and supervision of workforce members who work with EPHI. A covered entity must routinely train for all workforce members regarding the security policies and procedures and must have and apply appropriate sanctions against workforce members who violate its policies and procedures. Training can take the shape in a variety of venues to include newsletters, one-on-one consultation, media presentations, staff meetings, and the like. The training should be adequately documented for auditing purposes, including the time and date of the training, topics covered, and who attended. Training should encompass all users who may interface with the EPHI in some manner, including upper management. Physical safeguards are written to address issues regarding facility access control, workstation use, workstation security, and device media controls. This includes limiting physical access to work facilities without impeding access to those requiring it. This is particularly true in areas where EPHI may be present, including work areas, server rooms, backup media storage units, and the like. These areas require an extra level of protection to limit access to authorized users only, and whenever possible, create a structure for logging access, particularly to irregularities such as maintenance staff, etc., who may require entry to those locations but are not considered routine in nature. Additionally, keeping a reliable hardware inventory, along with its value and locations, is also an important safeguard to preventing theft of the system which may inadvertently contain EPHI data. Policies should also exist surrounding the acceptable use of any workstation or device or media with potential of collecting and storing EPHI. This includes blocking any workstations in public areas that may store PHI, requiring the devices and EPHI software to use strong passwords. A strong password meets the following guidelines. It is typically 8 to 14 characters long or longer. Due to the way in which encryption works, for obvious reasons, 14 characters is preferable. Contains both uppercase and lowercase letters. Contains numbers. Contains symbols, such as ampersands, question marks, dollar signs, and the like. And contains a symbol in the second, third, or fourth, or fifth, sixth position. Does not resemble any of your previous passwords. Is not a name. Technical safeguards address access controls, audit controls, integrity, user or entity authentication, and transmission security. These technical requirement mandates that are a covered entity must implement technical policies and procedures that only allow authorized persons to access EPHI from a technical perspective There are several tools that assist administrators with administering such access. Active Directory. One such tool is Active Directory. AD allows administrators to assign policies, deploy software, and apply access roles based on users or user groups to an organization's network. It does this by storing information and settings about users and resources in a central database. Active Directory networks are very scalable and are seen in small installations with few computers, users, and printers to large organizations with tens of thousands of users. Active Directory uses a protocol called LDAP, or Lightweight Directory Access Protocol, to allow connectivity and control access to a wide variety of management and query applications. It may be possible for your vendor to adapt your EHR system to use Active Directory to help you manage access if the software is not already configured to do so. For instance, when a new physician begins at an organization, her access will be partially governed by what Active Directory group her account was added to. Regardless, your vendor's product should come with a set of access controls already built into the software. Be sure that you have a candid conversation about how these controls work and be certain that they will work in a manner consistent with your roles and the organization uses for administering EPHI data. Another way to prevent unwanted access is through the use of firewalls. A firewall is a dedicated appliance or software running on a computer which inspects network traffic passing through it and denies or permits passage based on a set of rules or criteria. It does this by controlling access to ports. Ports are essentially communications channels that applications need to communicate with one another. Some ports are pretty common, such as port 80, which regulates web traffic. It is normally placed between the protected network where EPHI is housed and unprotected network, and the access gate to protect access. A firewall's basic task is to protect computer networks where they meet at different trust levels. For example, you may often see a firewall between internet traffic and internal network traffic. Many servers and workstations also have firewalls to provide another level of protection. It's important to note that your EHR system will require certain ports to remain open on your firewall to work properly. Work with your vendor to ensure ports are left open that are necessary for operation. As this picture illustrates, firewalls can be placed anywhere the network transitions from a less trusted segment to a more trusted segment. In this instance, the network firewall allows some communications through as determined by the overall network needs. The computer firewall is then tailored to further reduce traffic to and from the computer system to only those applications installed and running on the system itself.